the dinim of Sviras HaOmer, what's Sviras HaOmer to most of us? Besides Lag BaOmer. We can't get a haircut. We can't, I don't know, we don't buy real fancy things. I don't know, we don't get married. Right? Don't get married, don't get a haircut.
Remember to count.
Huh?
Remember to count.
Basically, you know, it's like, it's a, doesn't seem to be such a period of elevation and inspiration for most of us. Except Lag BaOmer, we get to barbecue. Right? And you can go, if you're really adventurous, you go to Meron. He brings a Miri, very interesting Miri. The Miri says in the beginning of Brochus, on the Pasuk, Eis lasis l'Hashem my favorite Surah Secha. There's a time for every mitzvah, right? There's a prayer. Lulav and Esek you do on Sukkot. Matzah you do on Pesach. Hadlokas Neres on Chanukah. Every time, every moyed, every period in history has its special mitzvahs. He says, the Eis lasis l'Hashem, it's the time for doing for Hashem, whatever time of year it is that you're supposed to do the mitzvahs particular to that period, hey, feirus ha'secho, we nullify the Torah. Whenever the time comes, we nullify the Torah. He says, Moshe l'mad over the Moshe, says, you take a donkey. This is a Rishon talking in the Meiri. You take a donkey, and in the fall, you put on him, what do you call it, the grapes, because that's when the grapes are done. And in the summer, you put on his back, you put on his wheat. And in the spring, you put on his back barley. So this donkey doesn't know the difference what you're putting on his back. He just knows it weighs the same amount. The grapes weigh the same, the wheat weigh, you're always going to put, it's a 1,000-pound donkey, you're going to put 1,000 pounds of grape, you're going to put 1,000 pounds of wheat, you're going to put 1,000 pounds, what does a donkey know the difference between it? So says the Miri, that's the way we keep mitzvahs. Comes Sukkot, we take the lulav, we sit in the sukkah. Comes Pesach, we take the matzah, and we eat the matzah. It comes Shavuos, comes Sefiras HaOmer, we do the mitzvahs, but we're like donkeys. It's like, what do we know? It's another mitzvah. Each one is special. Each one has a different meaning. Each one has a different purpose. And we have to be mizboinen. We have to think about what it is in that period, what the mitzvah has in it for that period of time that we need to take out from it. So what happened in Lag BaOmer? Why do we have these in the Sefiras HaOmer? Why do we have these special dinim of not doing simcha? We're not supposed to play music. Not supposed to dance. Not supposed to sparis and nesias noshim. What's that all about? So avelus, because Rebbe Akiva, we know that the Talmidim Rebbe Akiva, 12,000, 24,000 two gerses in the Gemara. His Talmidim died. By the way, it wasn't in 1 year. It wasn't from Pesach out of Tzeres in 1 year. It was a whole period of time in history. So that's it. So we carry it like a donkey. We carry those dinim. What's the difference? Everyone mixes it up between the 3 weeks and Sviras HaOmer. You know, we think we're in some kind of Beinu Metzorim type of situation here. It has nothing to do with Beinu Metzorim. It has nothing to do with Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's a different, completely different thing. And Mises Talmidim Rebbe Akiva. So many great Talmidim Chachamim died, and the Talmidim died. Why are we so sensitive here to the death of the Talmidim of Rebbe Akiva? So the Gemara says that why did they die? First of all, 24,000. We're talking about a huge plague here, even though it's over the course of several years, but still a huge plague. All the Talmidim of Dafka of Rebbe Akiva, you didn't see that the Talmidim of other Rosh Yeshivas were dying. But you didn't see that other people were dying. It was the Talmidim of Rebbe Akiva. So Gemara says, "Mimnei shaloi nagu kovod zelazeh," because they didn't treat each other with the proper honor that each was deserving, because they were all Talmidei Chachamim. To be a Talmid of Rebbe Akiva was, what if somebody would come in and say, "I'm a Talmid of Rebbe Akiva Eiger," in the yeshiva, not Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Akiva Eiger. We'd all stand up for him, right? Talmid, some on the Yikum Purkan on Shabbos. Right, every Shabbos we make special tefillas for the Rosh Mesifta, Asher Bavovo, Talmidei, Talmid of an Adam Godel is a Choshev person in his own right, just by virtue of the fact that he's a Talmid of an Adam Godel, he himself is worthy of tremendous kavod. And they didn't treat each other. I mean, they probably were miyashivit like this. I'm a Talmid of Rebbe Akiva also. So why do I have to treat him any better than... We're equals. But they, in a sense, so they probably rationalized it somehow. They weren't treating each other with the respect they were maybe thinking that other people have to be mechabed, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. But the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva don't have to be mechabed Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. We're all on the same madrega. We're all Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. But it was a toast. It was a mistake. They were deserving, each one of them was deserving the kavod that everybody had to give to the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So really what we should be getting out of the Yemei Sfira is learning a lesson in how to treat each other. That's what we should be getting about. Why aren't you cutting your hair? Why aren't you listening? You turn on the from radio stations, what do you get now? Lots of talk and people singing with no music. Shema. No point in listening to the radio today, right? I'm sure advertisements are much cheaper on radio in this period. You don't have chasanas, you have bar mitzvah, you don't have that kind of music. What are we suffering for? What for? We're supposed to be learning a lesson. We're supposed to be learning the lesson of kovod ha'Torah, how to be mechabed a ben Torah, how to be mechabed a talmid chochem. And we don't get that out of it. If all we got out of it was that we can't wait till we get the haircut, or we can't wait till we can turn on the music, then we were like that donkey the Meiri is talking about, that we were just carrying something we don't even know what we were carrying. We carried a yoke. We don't know what we're carrying. Al Choshu was Rabbi Akiva. We have to understand. The Gemara says that those 12,000 or 24,000 Talmidim, when they died, Hoya Ho'ilem Shomim. There was no Torah. The importance of their Torah knowledge was so central to the Shalshelus HaTorah, to the transmission of Torah to the next generation. The Gemara says, Ho'oyo ho'oylem shomim. The world was on verge of collapse. The world was on verge of falling into a void, into abyss of no Torah. And if there's no Torah in Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael disappears. If Am Yisrael disappears, the whole world disappears. Yom HaShishi, if it wouldn't be for Torah, Hashem would revert the world, would return the world to Tohu Vavohu. So the Gemara says that was the case only till Rabbi Kiva came, Eitzel Rabbeinu Shebedorim, that he found these great Talmidei Chachamim in the south, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Shimon Bar Yochai, and Rabbi Loza ben Shamua. Five great Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva. Veheim heim, these five Talmidim, they were machzir, they brought back the Torah into Klal Yisrael. They brought back the Torah. Ad shebo Rabbi Kiva etzel Rabbi Sinu shebedorim v'shona lehem, and they were mamid Torah bo'is hasho. If it wouldn't be for those five Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, it wouldn't be for them, there'd be no Torah in Klal Yisrael today. So it's the Pashut Pshat in the Gemara. And it's interesting, the Gemara says, Ad shebo etzel Rabbi Sinu shebedorim. Rabbi Kiva looked. He knew what the situation. Rabbi Kiva knew that without his Talmidim, the Torah is going to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. He went south. He was looking for Talmidei Chachamim that could restore and revive the Torah and ensure that it could be passed on from generation to generation. And he found these five Talmidim. Stam Mishnah, we know, is Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says that Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. If you don't know who the author of a Mishnah is, you can assume it's Rabbi Meir. Stam Sifro, that's on the Teras Kohanim, right? Rabbi Yehuda. Stam Sifri, Bamidbor, Rabbi Shimon. And Stam Tosefta, the Tosefta is Rabbi Nechemia. And Vekula, the Gemara says, all of them learned it from Rabbi Kiva. All, in other words, all the Mishnayas. Most of the Mishnayas. Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Meir. All the Tosefta, Sifro, Sifri, all of that, Kulam Mipi Rabbi Kiva. All the, we, Kimat, the entirety of Torah Shebal Peh, Kimat, the entirety of Torah Shebal Peh, is from Rabbi Kiva. Ah, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Zohar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said it himself, that everything he taught was Trumas Mitrumois of Shal Rabbi Kiva. It was just a, you know what Truma is? That's like 1/100th. Truma Mitrumois of 1/100th of Rabbi Kiva. Shimon, all the Nigla, all the Nisters, Kimat all Rabbi Kiva. And now we can understand how dangerous a situation Am Yisrael was in and the world was in without the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva. All his Talmidim died, The whole Torah is at stake here. Ad kidei kach, Rabbi Kiva was so hushu, Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why didn't you give the Torah through him? Rabbi Kiva and Moshe Rabbeinu came out the same thing. So his Talmidim were central. They were as important, like as it says in Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibbol Torah Mesina, Mesora LeYeshua, Yeshua LeZkenim. Without any one of those people, Torah is lost. Without the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, Torah is lost. And that's the pshat in the Gemara. The Olam was Shomem. The world was desolate. It was on the abyss of destruction. Had it not been for these great five Tanoim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Loza ben Shamua, had not been for them, the whole Shalshalos HaTorah would have broken. Because all of the Torah Shebaal Peh that we do have, Kimat, the whole thing, comes from Rabbi Akiva. Kimat, the whole thing. Who was Rabbi Akiva? We know Rabbi Akiva was not a Pashut person. At the age of 40, he's still an Amoritz. And a real Amoritz, too. Ad Kedei Kach, the Gemara says, that Rabbi Akiva said, when I was Amoritz, if you would have brought me a Talmud Chacham, I would have bit through his bones. That's Rabbi Akiva. He would have bit through his robe. So, from this Am Haaretz comes the most central figure in Torah and his Talmidim. And we almost lost the whole thing because they didn't treat each other properly. No, not pretty sure. So, because this is a broid that has a mahalach, maybe I could add on to it, that. You know why they were punished? So the Gemara doesn't say there was any other Avera. It wasn't that they were messing around with Chas V'Shalom, talking improperly, or they're acting improperly, or they ate things not properly. So Burbin's Meisim, a certain Talmidim that they didn't take this to the Rabbanan carefully, didn't take that to the Rabbanan carefully, whatever. They couldn't find it. There was no blemish in the Talmidim Rabbi Kiva, other than they didn't treat each other properly. So, as Moshe, so, all right, so give him a patch. We killed him. So, because this points out, you know, the Rebbe Kiva, it was a Pella. How did he marry in to the Mishpoch of Kalba ben Savur? Rochel, his wife, was the daughter of Kalba ben Savur. It was a Tana. It was a great Tana. Kalba ben Savur. He was also completely, a Tana. It's called a Tana, but you see his name is mentioned. He was a very choshev person, and he was a tremendously wealthy person. But he was one of the sages of the generation of Poshev. How is it that she married it? So when his father found out she's marrying Amoritz, you know what he did? He made a neder that she can't have any benefit from any of his wealth. He cut her out. Wouldn't give him a penny. He says, I'm going to give my money to Amoritz. You can imagine, she must have been a tough cookie, Rochel, right? To go against her father. Well, says, why did she do that? Why did she marry Rabbi Kiva? She could have married the Godel Ador, which she did. Right, but she could have married somebody who then was on the track to be the Godel Ador, and then she marries the Amoritz who's ready to break the bones of a Talmud Chochem. What did she see in Rabbi Akiva as she wanted to marry him? At the end of the story is good, right? Kalb ben Savur finds out that his son-in-law, who he thought was a real piece of nothing, a piece of garbage, turns out to be the Godel Ador, so they were matter the net. but for 12 years... For 12 years, it could be 24 years, at least 12 years, they lived in abject poverty. Rabbi Kiva and his wife, they didn't have money even for a bed. They slept in haystacks. In haystacks they slept. That's how poor they were. What was she Maisa Nefesh for? What did she see in Rabbi Kiva? The Gemara says she saw he was Tsnui Umale, that he was a Tsanua and he had good midas. Good midas. Kind of good midas. What kind of good midas is a person who sees a Talmud Chacham wants to break his bones, bite with a bite? So Teretz is, and this is it's a fortune to say this, Pshat, that he didn't really hate Talmud Chachamim like a jerk, like an Amoritz, you know. He thought, imagine, you know, what it was to be around Talmid Chacham at the time. Talmid Chacham wouldn't let an Amoritz touch him, because big day ame oretz midras leprushim. Magad ame oretz midras leprushim. If an ame oretz would touch anybody, that person is tome. So the Talmidei Chachamim, even though they were not Kohanim, right, and even when there was no Beis HaMikdash, but they were in the times of Chazal, many of them were Machmir, to be Noyeg as if they were like Kohanim, because they were Noyeg, the dinim of Kedusha, keeping away from all types of forms of Tumah, and they wouldn't let an Am Oretz, you can imagine on Shabbos, Good Shabbos. The next guy, he says, Good Shabbos, what's there to mean him? You're an Am Oretz, he's a Talmud Chachamim. You're walking along the street, you know, the Talmidei Chachamim are walking on one side of the street, and they won't get near an Am Oretz. Many siyogin and many archokas that the Talmidei Chachamim were noeg not to come into contact with Am Oretz. Don't, right? The Guru said unbelievable things about keeping away from the Am Oretz. So Rabbi Kiva thought that the reason they did that was because of arrogance. And he said, that's such a despicable... He was such an amoritz, he didn't realize the reason they did that is because it put them in a big mess. Now you've got to have Tuma and Mikvah, and who knows, Tuma's Mace, if there's a Paraduma. You're going to do tremendous inconvenience and tsar to the Talmud. It could be a huge hefset of money also, because now he's going to come in contact with his food, and his food's going to become Tome, and he's knowing not to eat food that's Tome. It's a huge problem to become Tome if you're knowing the dinim of Tuma and Tara, Prushim were noeg, a lot of the Prushim were noeg, even more like they were in the Beis HaMikdash. They ate chulin al Taras HaKodesh. Some of them, they ate even things that are the regular foods. They treated it like it was Truma, or like Korbonis. So you can mess up their food also. So he didn't realize, he was such a, he didn't know this, he's an Amoris, what does he know? He just sees this type of behavior, which by the way, people today also, who are not from, that's how they look at the Haredi. They think it's arrogance. They think this keeping away and looking down upon them. They translate that as arrogance. But that's part of the reason of the hatred. But put that aside, that's what Rebbe Kiva, and therefore he said, that's such a despicable form of behavior, they deserve to be bitten through the bones. If that's the way you treat another human being, that you won't even touch them, you deserve to be. You're like a donkey yourself. That for Keret, it was because of his milas of his midas that he wanted to harm the Talmidei Chachamim. The Gemara brings a ma'isa, very interesting, a famous ma'isa. Brings a ma'isa. A person went to work for a poor person went to work for a wealthy farmer. He became like a sharecropper, right? Oris. And he worked and worked and worked, and you don't get paid cash. They didn't pay him cash. They paid him a portion of the crop. Right? So he worked and worked and worked and worked, and he didn't get a portion. 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 So the first time he told him, he didn't give him anything. He said, till in the end, he told me, it was Erev Yom Kippur. He said he couldn't wait anymore. He had to go home. I was working for 3 years. Worked him for 3 years. He goes home. Goes back to his wife and children. Where's the your wages? Says the guy. Says he didn't have anything. Every time I ask him, he says he doesn't have anything. So you can imagine they're all broken hearted and everything. You know? But in the end, it comes before Sukkos. The employer comes and tells him, you know, I have your wages for you. Please, I'll come and give you everything. And they paid him a huge amount of crops and everything worked out there. But he asked him. The employer asked him, like, when I told you I didn't have wheat, what did you think? He says, I thought maybe you're makdish it to the Beis HaMikdash. When I told you I didn't have land, what did you think? I thought maybe makdish it to the Beis HaMikdash. Everything he said, he was malamed schus. Every time every time he told him that he didn't have something, so the sharecroppers said, I was Daniel Kaf schus. Daniel Kaf schus. Daniel every single time. That's miser. He says, one time maybe I thought maybe you could, I asked you for cash once. You said you didn't have any. He's a rich man. Where's your cash? He says, I thought maybe you had just did a big business deal and you got rid of all your cash. He always came up with the terrets, the sharecropper, always came up with the terrets for this balabos that he was working for, who was living like a king, but couldn't have anything to pay this guy. Always had a good yishuv, good limud schus. So the employer, when he heard that, was misspoiled from him and gave him a tremendous brocha. He says, just like you were Dan Milakav schus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also should always judge you favorably. Also, give him a tremendous bracha. Imagine such a person, he goes years working for a person, doesn't see a penny, not a dime, sees he's a wealthy person, then comes up with these crazy limud schuyas, maybe you're makdish oy. When you told me, then he said, well, pay me land. You don't have money, you don't have crops. I mean, I've been working on your money, on your crops all these years. You don't have money, you don't have crops. Pay me land. I've been working on your land. Land, you can't say it's not here. He says, so when I asked him for land, he says, I don't have any. How can you makdish the metzias? So he asked him, boy, I said, what did you think when I told you I didn't have any land? He says, I thought maybe you just made a netter that you're giving it all to the Beis HaMikdash. Imagine coming up with such a crazy idea. But the person always says, you know, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly why I couldn't give you the land, because I was makdish it all to the Beis HaMikdash. Until I redeemed it and paid it off. It took time, and now I'm paying you everything I owe you. So what need is this worker had for him? Some forshim say, you know who that worker was? Was Rabbi Akiva. When he was in Amoritz, before he learned Torah, was Rabbi Akiva. Just midas. Imagine the midas. That was an Amoritz. An Amoritz who hated Talmid Chachamim. It was a mistake that he hated Talmid Chachamim. But his midas, to be done the kafsus ad gekach, that he lived in such poverty. You can imagine who Rabbi Akiva, his midas, his kedusha, before he became a Talmid Chachamim. And that's what the Gemara says, that Rachel saw in Rabbi Akiva. The midas is unbelievable. She understood that if the midas are so spread, there wasn't anybody else. I mean, the world doesn't take. You know the famous story about there was a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, I think, who had some legal problems. He went to court. There was a trial against him. So the Chofetz Chaim testified on behalf of his Talmud. Right. So the lawyer, the defending lawyer, told the judge he wants him to understand who the Chofetz Chaim is first. He said, you know, once, it's a famous story that a ganef came into the Chofetz Chaim's home and he stole something, and the Chofetz Chaim ran after him, pursued him, chased after him. I'm moichel you. So the person shouldn't be nichshol and gneivan. So that's what the character of this Rebbe, of this rabbi, such a saint, such a holy person. What an unbelievable story. So the judge says to the lawyer, he says, come on, do you believe that? So the lawyer said, he says, you know, I don't know, but they don't tell stories like that about you and me. This mice, you know, he's a bit anybody, but there wasn't anybody else who this mice was told about. It was told about Rebbe Akiva. Rachel was able to see Rebbe Akiva was a yachid bedoira in midas. His midas were way beyond even the Talmid Chachamim. His midas were obviously, but otherwise, Rachel would have picked the yeshivish, the briskers, the ponovichers. She had limitless funds, right? She could get the greatest yeshiva bocher in the generation. Why she go for Rebbe Akiva? Because she saw in Rebbe Akiva, he was the highest madrega and midas that was possible. So she was wise enough to understand that from such a receptacle, from such a treasure house of midas, you can have a huge, huge treasure house of Torah. Because Torah and midas have to go together. Midas, Torah without midas, is like it says in Pirkei Avos, like a golden a ring in the nose of a chazer, of a swine. She understood the value. So Simple Zissel says, you know what, the Talmidim of Rebbe Akiva, how is it that they were not be mechabed each other? With such a Rebbe, with such golden midas, how is it that they didn't rise above the level that they were at in treating each other with kavod? So they can't be the receptacles for Rebbe Akiva's Torah. Rebbe Akiva's whole entrance to the world of Torah was only because of his midas. And his Torah is so central, it's the whole of the Torah from Rebbe Akiva. It has to go on to Talmidim that also have that same Maila, and they didn't have it. They could be their fine people, but that Madrega of Rebbe Akiva's Midas, that they didn't have. They weren't mechabed each other on that level. That can't ensure, that can't be the receptacle, the holding house and the distribution a system for Torah later on. Ad Shabor Rebbe Akiva, it's Rabbi Senu Shabadorim, the stomach Rebbe Akiva picked out. He watched how they treated each other. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Elazar ben Shavua. He watched their hanhagas. Zaji, boy, he looked all over the place till he found these people. Behem heim imidu Torah Yisrael. And that's why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, all my midas, he said, my midas are trumas mitrumais of Rabbi Akiva. My midas, even though midas there, he's talking about his teachings, but he uses the lashon midas, are truma mitrumais of Rabbi Akiva. But Akol Panim, these were chashuva people in their own right. Is it a coincidence that Rabbi Akiva is the one who teaches us v'yahavto l'reyachah k'moichah zeklah godol b'terah? Rabbi Akiva was a lay b'dika v'yahavto l'reyachah k'moichah. That was his whole life was v'yahavto l'reyachah k'moichah. His Talmidim to take over his place, to be that conduit for Torah, had to be like that. And if not, there has to be somebody else. In other words, they were getting all of Rabbi Akiva's attention, all of his energy, all these 12,000 or 24,000 Talmidim, but they couldn't be the conduits because they didn't have his midas. So the Rebbe Hashem says, you know what? There are five people in the world who have those kind of midas, who could be the conduit for Torah. But unfortunately, Rabbi Akiva didn't know about them because he's so busy with his 12,000 Talmidim. So you know what the Rebbe Hashem did? Move him aside. Because these five are the ones who have the midas that are necessary to be the conduit from Rabbi Akiva, from Moshe to Rabbi Akiva and to the rest of Klai. So that's important. It is the anhaga, the way we treat each other, the respect, the way we speak about each other, speak to each other, the way we treat each other. We should be treating each other like we expect other people to treat Talmidei Chachamim or Talmidim of Talmidei Chachamim. That's the limud we should be taking out of Sfiras HaOmer, is elevating our hanhaga, our treating of a ben Torah. I think I told you, maybe it's a new group here, man. Some of you didn't hear it once. The way we greet a ben Torah, a person who learns it in Torah, I saw it by Gedolei Yisrael, I saw it myself with my own eyes. Shach Zeicher Tzadik Kodesh Livracha, when I went to see him once, I think it was maybe the first time I went to see him, he didn't know me. He was a 17-year-old boy, maybe he was 18-year-old, maybe. And I was waiting outside of his office, and the door opens up, and Rav Shach, he was inside the office with a chashuv of Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Shach escorts this Rosh Yeshiva out, and I stood up, of course. Not only Rav Shach is walking in, but another Rosh Yeshiva is walking in front of me. I stood up, and as Rav Shach is escorting this Rosh Yeshiva to the door, he throws his arms up in the air, and so I look behind me to see who just walked in. It must be another Godel just walked in. And I'm looking like this, and all of a sudden, I realize his hands were around me. Rav Shach's hands, he embraced me. He took me in. Ah, Ben Torah. That was it. I was a king. You know, the other Rosh Hashiva was history. It was history. It was such ava, such love, such kovah, just to see it. It was the love of Bnei Torah. Ben Torah, you're automatic a VIP, you know. Have the havdol, have the dolos, you know. Hollywood, you know. Shooting like big shots, you know. I was there. I was in L.A. when they had the Schmaskers, whatever it was. I was in L.A. And they wouldn't let me drive here. They wouldn't let me drive there. I had to get from the city to the valley. And I was trying to go on Highland, and I couldn't get to it. It's just, they had a big sign up. What was the sign? It was going, only black limousines are allowed in. Didn't matter. If you had a black limousine, Chazak was you were going to the Shmaskers, right? I was thinking to tell the policeman, you know, I don't have a black limousine. I'm the rabbi of the academy. There's such cover for these schutzim. These people are rats. Right? Disgusting, filthy rats. You can keep it on the tape. Right? Such cover they get. The Ben Torah should be with, you know, the top of the world. Every Ben Torah, anybody who learns in Yeshiva, Shiva Bocher, Shiva Bocher. Somebody walked in once. I don't remember to which Godel. It was to Rabbi Zalman. I think it was Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, I think it was. And, the family members didn't want to be disturbed, so Yeshiva Bocher came. You know. So he heard a knock on the door. He was already very old and very sick, Rabbi Zalman. And he said, who's at the door? This is just the Yeshiva Bocher. Shiva Bacha immediately let him in. He didn't know him, who he is. It doesn't matter. He's a VIP. He's a Shiva Bacha. That's how we should relate to each other like that. Yerushalayim, that we should be able to overcome this problem that the Meiri is talking about, not to be donkeys, not to carry the mitzvahs like donkeys that we don't know what we're carrying. We're carrying a yoke now, which is a very important lesson for us. In fact, it's essential for the continuity of Torah.